Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That's me along, Captain Patrick. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
You didn't sound real sure on that intro.
Well, I'm never real sure. You mean, you know, I kind of look at you questionably and like, okay, is he our crew? I think he is. It depends. I don't see the blood vessels popping out of your forehead yet.
No.
But give me a few minutes.
Yeah, talk to me at the end of 4 years.
Yes, we are going to do this, though. We are going to navigate the latest boating news and information. But before we do that, we got to check in with Captain Keith. It's been a while. He works at Regulator Boats. He's working like a dog right now at the beginning of the year because he's ready to just make millions at his new gig. Right, Keith? Am I right? Come on.
Well, I would like to think that you're right, but unfortunately, I still work in the boating industry, which is a modest income, but lots of fun when you get out and go boating.
So it's a slow cruise as opposed to right to the top, you know. But then, yeah, you're enjoying it. That's what matters. And who knows?
Absolutely.
You know, you might sell just crap loads of boats. Now that we have this new administration, who knows? It could be really crazy and good for everybody, or it could be totally terrible. I don't know.
I believe, Greg, that this is a good thing for the boating industry. The boating industry was on a good, steady, a little over 8% clip at the end of the year last year, moving along pretty well, at least on the outboard saltwater edition of boats, and it's only getting better.
Well, there you go. Patrick's looking at me like, no way.
Thank you, President Obama. actually, Keith, it's something Greg and I were talking about in our pre-show meeting, one of the rare times that we actually had one. And I don't know if you saw the open letter to President Trump that Bill Yergin had penned, CEO of Correct Craft. And as I didn't know if you had seen that, but one of the things that he had, was number two on his list was, to embrace the inevitable aspects of the global marketplace, you know, and of course that's something that for the manufacturers that maintain a presence internationally could be a little bit of a concern because they're not sure what this administration is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from that standpoint, you're absolutely right, Patrick.
Thank you. Did you hear that, Greg? Bookmark it.
Yeah, but there's a but.
No, there's not.
No,
there's not.
There's always a but. Keith, continue.
Just for that particular point, I'm making it. For that particular point, he's absolutely correct.
Right. But. Continue.
We don't know. But it's hot outside. Is that what you were looking for, Greg? Was that your save?
God bless global warming. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, here's my thing, Captain Keith. At Regulator, is there any concern?
Well, sure there is. I mean, our international market at Regulator is relatively small. We've already seen that even shrink up a little bit in the past 6 months with the strength of the dollar there. So for a company like Correct Craft, who does sell a lot of boats international more than we do, probably a bigger concern for them. For us, it is a small concern. But the domestic growth is outweighing the international damage that's being done.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, there's your butt.
Well, there you go. I knew there was. There always is. And, you know, it's too early to know. I mean, we just don't know. Yeah, sure, there's some uncertainty, but that's what we have to deal with right now, as you would with any new administration, whether it's Democratic or Republican. So we'll just have to see.
Well, at no time did you hear me mention a Republican administration. I was actually keeping political party out of it.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying it doesn't matter which one it is. There's always going to be uncertainty either way. So we'll have to wait and see what he does and how it affects things and how they deal with it.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. There were some other things that he hit on in this letter. One was helping CEOs with the industry's biggest problem, which you and I have talked about quite a bit on the air, and Greg has pretty much just kind of rolls his eyes at me when we do it. But that's finding good quality people, you know, to go into the manufacturing end and grow that segment of the workforce.
You're 100% correct on that point as well.
Twice!
There we go. So he's two for two right there on particular points. I believe the biggest thing that we face, and I know we face it at Regulator, and I know other manufacturers face it as well, is high-quality people, or sometimes even low-quality people, just getting people to work.
Hmm. All right, but... No, there's no but this time?
No, but, and really what comes behind that is another one of his points, which is...
I saw what you did there, what comes behind that.
Which is addressing incoming inequality, which is, again, and this is something that I have been espousing to Boat Show Girl. Captain Keith and I have kind of, I think we have a differing view, especially because he's a little bit higher up.
Well, Boat Show Girl isn't here today because she's working.
In an administration than where I am with the company that I work for, but... To get people into manufacturing and maintain that. We all know that in order to grow your product, you have to have a dependable, quality product. And one way to do that, of course, is to have a stable workforce that's well-trained. But you have to make it, you have to incentivize them to be, it's pay, it's benefits, it's retirement even. I think you almost have to dial back the clock a little bit back to what our parents or our parents' parents did. And again, from somebody who's worked for the same company now coming up on 31 years, which is relatively rare.
Mm-hmm. Have they given you a free boat yet?
Not unheard of. But
have they given you a boat bonus?
It doesn't happen all that often.
You're not going to answer?
Because I'm trying to make my point with Keith, and you do this to me ad nauseum. You interrupt, and you try to get me off track, and it's not going to happen this time.
A bonus would have done the trick for you, though, wouldn't it?
So, Keith, do you think that that's something that manufacturers will have to look at? Is, I mean, are raising pay, getting benefits back in line, and not cutting benefits, and possibly beyond a 401k even, and actually having a retirement, a pension almost, to kind of stabilize the workforce and grow it?
Hmm. Well, yes and no. I think it's a two-part thing. When you're in markets, for example, the window market where Regal is, and you got many other boat manufacturers, and it's strong there, and many other businesses even outside the world of the marine industry, you do have to really work hard to be more competitive to get the good workers in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are fortunate where we are, and I think there's some other boat brands that are fortunate in the fact that where we're located, there's not a lot of other manufacturing options that we have to compete with. Textiles used to be so big in North Carolina. They've all moved to Asia now, and so there's empty textile mills up and down. Grady White has taken over one that they use, an old textile mill, for some of their manufacturing and stuff there. So we don't have that competition to get good employees at Regulator as much as other people might. Plus, Regulator has done very, very good for the long term of their employees. They're very gracious with the average pay, and there is a retirement plan and many other plans in place. So they've been able to maintain some of those workers, but nonetheless, as we grow, we still got to get new workers in here.
Hmm. Patrick, how many times have you won Employee of the Month? You got like a Subway card.
In 31 years?
Yeah.
I believe I have a mantle full of like little star awards and stuff like that.
You got like a little gold star, really?
No, but cut out of the
little
like
sticker
sand type stuff.
Little sticker, like your elementary teacher. I have been
awarded.
Put it on your forehead.
I have been awarded Employee of the Month quite a few times over my 31 years.
Yeah, but what'd you get out of it?
Paperweight.
Hmm. That was it, huh? Not even like a Subway card or
recognition,
something?
And usually it would come on the as a result of going over and above with a boat
give
show.
Give this to Patrick to shut him up, will you, please?
Something like that.
Well, I think they should do a boat award there.
I think so, too. A boat bonus. I think that would solve all the employee issues that you could ever imagine. Well, if every boat manufacturer that says, look, once every year, we're going to have a boat bonus to the person who performs best for the year.
Well, not because it would be way too political, but what we do offer, and this is, again, one of those benefit packages. I mean, the company that I work for, and I if people have listened to the show, they know who they are, but I don't mention them because they're not a paid advertiser. But, you know, there are programs that they have. We have a boat use program. Where if you go through our training class, there are usually a couple boats, one up in Mount Dora, one out on the coast, that you can use, you can sign up and take advantage of that. So, I mean, that's a great benefit to have.
Wait, is that a benefit, or are they just sick of you and say, here, get on this boat and get the hell away from us?
No, because usually when I go out there, I'm carrying a tool bag with me.
You've won that many times.
Yeah. You don't win it.
Yeah. I think it's
a perk.
I think it's a demerit. I'm just saying. You could read it both ways. And we got more coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Dude, you were right, Carmen. Your Uncle Roy has a sweet boat.
Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy thing. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat.
This is the World of Boating.
You can buy me a boat.
Greg, your first mate, that's me along, Captain Patrick. We are your crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information. So I guess we should get right back to it. Shouldn't we, Patrick?
We should.
I mean, we covered some nice stuff there with... Captain Keith,
yeah, I mean, a little,
got his
little,
take on the new year and everything. Somewhat.
Did we?
Well, I mean...
I thought we got his take on this this letter that Bill Juergen, the CEO of CorrectCraft, had.
Well, I'm just saying, from his perspective, he said, you know, there's some concerns, but we'll have
now,
to wait and see.
Let the record reflect, twice during that conversation, Captain Keith said that Captain Patrick was 100% correct.
But.
No, no but.
There was a but.
There was no but.
On the
but.
First one, there was definitely a but.
There was no.
And on the second one, there was kind of like,
you
well,
can't even give me that, can you?
No, you of course you, not. I made a New Year's resolution to argue with you as much as possible.
Real quick, the other items that he hit on this open letter, and this is available at if you hit World of Boating, like us on Facebook, you'll be able to pick this letter up. Or if you don't want to like us on Facebook, then you would just do a Google search on open letter to Trump by Bill Yergin. But I'm not going to tell you how to spell his last name. So rise above partisan politics. Embrace the inevitable aspects of the global marketplace. Ensure reasonable regulation. Help CEOs with the biggest problem, finding good people. Address income inequality. Leverage energy advancement to our broader benefit. Embrace technological changes. Fix our infrastructure. And execute tax reform.
Man, he wants nothing. He's not asking for anything, is he?
Well, actually, the infrastructure is a bit of a big item, especially when it comes to our waterways,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the bridges over those waterways, things of that nature that, you know, all of that is maintained and upkept to where we can all enjoy the beautiful, the natural wonders that this country has to offer, especially out on the water.
Right. Well, we'll find out. Well, time will tell. I don't know how much of a boater Trump is, but maybe that'll come into play eventually.
Well, he did have his own. I don't know. Does he still have his own yacht?
I thought he sold it. I thought we had talked about it.
Wasn't it the Trump Princess or something like that? Which would have been really funny if his Trump Princess was actually a Trumpy yacht. But no such luck with that. Guess who came out with a yacht? Lexus.
Really?
Lexus.
Lexus?
Has come out.
So it's high end.
This thing,
sleek.
Let me put it this thing. There is no two ways about it. This is an absolutely gorgeous 42-foot sport yacht. Now, yacht, I think, gets thrown out an awful lot, depending on not only what part of the country you're in, but what part of the world. I know in Australia they would refer to a 25-foot boat as a yacht. You know, we would refer to it as a small cabin cruiser or pocket cruiser, you know, things like that. So yacht gets thrown out there an awful lot. I don't know that I would necessarily. It looks more like a 42-foot speedboat.
Yeah. What is the length? Is there not some guideline that after 32 feet, it's officially a yacht?
It's a marketing thing. See, what happens is once you go up a certain size on your recreational boats and yachts, you would have your Coast Guard capacity plate, okay, which says, you know, this boat is rated for 8 people or, you know, 1,400 pounds, something like that. When you get up into the yacht class, you don't have those capacity plates anymore. What you have is the boat has been yacht certified.
Well, the Coast Guard makes that distinction?
Well, it's based on length, width, tonnage, you know, available space under the deck, a lot of things that factor into that. For us, we usually get up, once we get up into the 28, 30-foot range, our boats start moving into the yacht classification.
But there's not a set number that you're aware of.
No.
Who is the person who determines this? Just the marketing material from the manufacturer?
What did I just say? You said
if it has a plate.
No. I just went over the criteria.
Well, you gave me ranges, but someone has to make that.
Well, let's put it this way: if you made a 40 foot, see, now you got me throwing my laptop across the studio.
New Year's resolution check.
If you made a 40 foot, 8 foot wide boat. Okay, may not fall into yacht classification because it's only going to be able to carry. I mean, at an 8 foot beam, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's things that go in there. So this boat probably falls into the yacht. But when we think yacht, what do you think? You're thinking multi-level. You're thinking a pool, a helicopter landing pad.
I'm thinking buffet, sniffing some, or yeah, not sniffing.
You're thinking a crew of 12
drinking.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean,
maybe
when we say yacht, you know, you're thinking of something that's of considerable size, mm-hmm. but not so. Anyway, this is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous boat. Apparently, this is a one-off for Lexus's president, Akio Toyoda, who, not Toyota, Toyoda, like Yoda.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. So, no word if they are going to put this into production, but it is powered by twin 440 horsepower Lexus V8s. So the thing's got a considerable amount of power behind it. It's a carbon fiber hull that shaves 2,200 pounds off the mass compared to a traditional fiberglass construction, although I don't think that would be compared to a an infused hull or deck. And the boat will run about 49 miles an hour. And as I said, it is absolutely, I'm going to spin this around for you so you can see.
It has cruise control, right? I'm just assuming.
Yeah, it would have autopilot, yeah. But that's a gorgeous looking.
That is nice.
Boat there. So
that's Toyoda.
No, that's the president of Lexus.
Mr. Toyoda. Come on my boat, you will. No, he'd probably make.
When did Elmo come into the studio?
Yeah, I can't do Yoda. I can just say what he would say. Step on my boat, you will. I can't do it.
Yeah,
we need Bill. No, he wouldn't do it well either. But that is a nice vessel.
His would come out like
it looks nice
Irish
enough that they ought to put it into production. Do they? They don't do any other boats. Lexus doesn't do any other boats.
No, they're
or yachts, I should say.
Now, you know,
if it's a yacht, it's not going to be a production thing anyway.
Car manufacturers, Toyota. Funny enough, tried to get into it, Toyo Marine, and the problem was they wanted to instill Japanese manufacturing processes into boat building, and it doesn't work.
About one of those little robots from CES that they had out last week?
It's not
him at your pilot. That would be a cool autopilot, though, wouldn't it?
It's not a car. It's a hand-built boat.
It's a robot I'm talking about.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, first mate, Captain Patrick, navigating the latest boating news and information. All right, so the Lexus boat, just for Mr. Toyoda.
So far, one off, but I dare say I could see him moving into it. That again, the problem that like Toyo Marine had, because I actually got involved with a little bit of that with them, with their ski boat. And you can't build a boat the way that a car is built. There's so many variables.
Wheels.
There are so many variables that can affect its construction that, you know, you try to build it to what they call a tack time, and it normally doesn't work out that way. It's building a boat of any size. And we're talking about, you know, recreational boat, can be a fairly complex process. There's a lot of moving parts and pieces, not to mention, you know, the construction of the hull and the deck with fiberglass, or in this case, with carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you have a drop in temperature, you know, unless you have a climate-controlled lamination area, you know, you're sometimes you can be at the whim of the temperature, both cold and too hot, because it can affect the lamination process either way. You know, so you just start with something simple like that, and if you have an issue there, it just kind of compounds itself throughout the manufacturing process of that particular boat. So I could see where, I mean, it's an absolutely gorgeous boat. They didn't say how many man hours went into, you know, building it, which would have been, you know, tooling a hull and a deck and then making a mold.
But
I can't imagine that they went through all of that.
Well, hey, have you seen the price tag on a new Lexus? That thing should float.
I can't.
For as much as they charge for those new cars,
I can't imagine that they went through all of that with this particular boat without any intention of probably building it recreationally.
You think it's coming?
They would be remiss if they did not seize the opportunity.
All right. Well, we'll see what Mr. Toyota has to say.
In my boat, you will.
Nah, it's hit emo again.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Till now, had to shut down.
What? Why?
The guy playing the best friend, the stand-up Adam Balin.
I think it's Balin. What about him?
He's dead.
What?
He fell off the back of a boat last night. They just found his body.
Oh my God! What was he doing on a boat? Boating? Why?
Little boat, big lake, little breeze.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, navigating the latest boating news and information. All right, so you can pick up a new Lexus boat. If things go as the way Patrick predicts, we'll have to wait and see how that evolves.
Oh, I could imagine this thing going for
lots. Buy a boat, get a Lexus free. There's some marketing in there that could work.
High six figures easy, if not higher than that.
Than a mil. Yeah.
Well, because again, if you're talking
that
about
that boat's over a mil, surely.
Hand laid, you know, carbon fiber.
Yeah. No, that's going to be over a mil easy.
Those engines alone are probably
how long is that one again?
42 feet.
Yeah. I'd say that's a $2 or $3 million vessel there.
No, you're wrong.
Way higher?
You're wrong on that. That's too high.
You don't think it's too high?
That's too high.
But that's carbon fiber. The carbon fiber alone costs us.
R53 goes retail somewhere around, depending on options, and nobody quote me on this and say, oh, Captain Patrick said I could buy one of your boats.
That's right. I want the Captain Patrick discount, please.
But let's say 1.4.
Yeah, but that's not carbon fiber. The carbon fiber makes things extremely expensive.
No, but the 53 is all infused.
Of carbon fiber?
No.
Oh,
but it's in the hull and the deck and
it's
all the
infused,
small parts,
which is fiber,
all go under infusion, which makes a lighter but yet stronger part because of the infusion process and the special glass that is used that the resin is drawn through. Thereby, you don't get all the excess weight. You don't get all the excess waste.
So it's kind of like a hybrid carbon fiber. It's not carbon fiber, but it has some of the benefits.
It's fiberglass, but again, a lighter but yet stronger part, especially when we get into the yachts.
Right.
Weight is a huge consideration when
but
you start.
Still, it's not as expensive as carbon fiber, is it not? Isn't carbon fiber like the gold standard?
We're talking about basically a 42-foot runabout.
Right.
Okay. Versus a 53-foot sport yacht. Okay, with Cummins turbo diesels, with Zeus Axius pods, all the bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not even talking about the cost of the carbon fiber versus fiberglass infusion. Just the components put inside that boat. What I'm saying is that 42 foot Lexus,
Okay,
is going to be high six figures, if not a low seven. Because right now it is it will be a hand built, hand constructed part. It's absolutely gorgeous, but it's not going to be for everybody.
Well, of course, it's going to be just for the rich folk.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, Toyota.
In all the years that you were scuba diving, do you still scuba dive? Have you been back yet?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Awesome.
You got medically cleared. You're good to go.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for the Bahamas. Yeah.
No, that's not what I asked. You're not answering the question,
no,
Mr. Trump.
Officially, I am cleared to dive February 1st.
Excellent.
Yeah, actually, I'm cleared now. I'm cleared. I don't have my form from my medical doctor.
So you're going to do a dive local before you head out?
No.
No? You're just going to go right into the deep end?
Yep.
So
there's actually, this time next week, I could be potentially scuba diving with 15-foot hammerheads in Bimini. But we haven't worked out the details yet. Basically, whether or not, you know, I have the cojones to do it.
You got a warranty on that valve they put in?
There's no valve. There's no valve. This purely has to do with, you know, the type of shorts I'll be having to clean. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? These are 15-foot great hammerhead sharks.
Well, all the time
that I'm going to be diving with, potentially.
All the time that you spend in the water, mainly seawater, salt water.
Yes.
Have you ever wondered why the sea is salty?
No, actually. Didn't really care. It's just like it's wet, feels good, see cool things. Why?
Just because, you know, there was some...
I know why. Fish have to sweat. It has to go somewhere. There you go. It's fish sweat. That's why the sea is salty. How's that for an answer?
All right. That'll work then.
Okay.
I'm just going to kind of blow past this story then.
Okay.
But there were a lot of a lot of myths before, of course, science...
I get my information from sources like the son of Jacques Cousteau, who happened to tell me one day that, you know, the sea, you know, people wonder about the salt water and all that stuff. Where's the water come from? And he said, well, you know, the fish, you know, have to urinate at some point.
Well, here's the thing. Before
you're diving in fish urine.
Before Google was around to explain that dissolved salts in rivers and surface runoff flow into the ocean and saline emissions pour out of deep sea hydrothermal vents.
Okay.
And people around the world would make, you know, why is it salty? So everything from giantesses that lived in the sea.
What? Giantesses?
Giantesses. Nordic giantesses. A pair of them.
What is a giantesses?
Female giant.
Oh, okay.
Hence, giantesses. Okay? I didn't make up the word. I'm just reading it off here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? One was a dowry that didn't get paid, and that resulted in a load of salt getting... tossed in the water, something having to do with cockroaches. This came out of Australia. Something about in Hindu mythology about drinking salt water, and something about a giant's leg. It doesn't make for a sturdy bridge.
Okay, so you're getting this all off the internet, which explains why salt water is salty?
No.
What? What are you doing?
They already explained why salt water is salty.
Okay.
What I'm saying is before...
These were the myths that they were trying to dispel.
Myths.
Okay.
Myths.
Right.
Not misses.
Mm-hmm.
Myths. And giantesses.
All right. Okay. But no one mentioned anything about...
Nope.
Hmm.
Did not mention that at all.
Yeah, they did.
Nope.
You're a liar.
Nope.
That's why you wanted to skate right over that one, didn't you?
Nope. Staying on the theme of dangerous swimming... Most dangerous beach in the world. Now, you're a world traveler.
It is Volusia County, Smyrna Beach.
No, it is not.
But it's where all the sharks are if you're going down that road.
It is not where all the sharks are.
Okay. That's where all the shark attacks.
That's not where all the shark attacks
are documented the most.
Okay, can we
incidents.
Agree? Can we agree that attack is a little too descriptive for what most people...
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all.
What happens to them... in the shark bite capital of the world, which occurs there because people continue to be stupid enough to go get into water where they know there's a preponderance of sharks that are drawn there because of people fishing off the jetty.
Yeah. Surfers are not the smartest people on the planet.
Surfers aren't the ones. Usually it's people walking out in the surf. Okay.
Well, surfers do though.
What happens is,
yo, dude,
there's a shark, and you brush up against it, and just like with a dog, if you were to come up behind a dog and reach for it, it's probably going to turn around and may snap at you. Okay, and that's what sharks do.
Yeah, they can.
Okay, and they can open.
All right, is that the most dangerous beach then, or not?
No.
Well, what is? What is it, and why is it dangerous?
Okay, the most dangerous beach.
And why?
Is Playa Zipolite in Mexico.
Wait, Playa Linda, the nude beach here in Florida?
Playa Zipolite.
Zipolite. That's the most disturbing beach in the world.
Okay. Playa Zipolite, if I'm pronouncing that correct, I don't know.
And where?
Because
where
Bill's
again?
Not here to translate. In Mexico.
Mexico. Okay.
Translates into Beach of the Dead.
Ah.
So you may want to, you know, if you get a, one of those things in the mail that says, you know, all expenses paid, you know, 3 days, two nights in beautiful Playa Zipa in Mexico.
Yeah.
You may, if there's condos that are being offered or timeshares, and this is just a public service announcement for our listeners, maybe stay away from there. But it's got some extremely lethal undercurrents, and it looks so peaceful and tranquil. You know, they go out and get in the water, and next thing you know, they get sucked under. And, of course, people who don't know how to battle an undertow or an undercurrent, they're trying to swim against it.
Well, float would be my suggestion.
Float out. Eventually, it will release its grip on you. And you'll probably be down the beach a mile or so, and then you swim back in. But people start to panic. And there's some others in there. Hanukkah Pie on Kauai Island in Hawaii. It's got the world's worst riptides. Britain has got and the Jurassic Coast in Dorset because of cliff collapses.
So rocks falling on your head when you're hanging out on the beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would anybody
go
there?
Falling rocks.
Why?
Keep your boats away. Our little public service announcement here from the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a paddy diver or paddy professional? Has your paddy certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit paddy.com/mystory. That's paddy.com/mystory. And thanks for choosing Paddy, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba diving is an activity for all ages. However, immersion alone can be a stressor on the heart and circulatory system. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to stay heart healthy as you dive next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN. Your Dive Safety Association.
Nearly one-third of diving fatalities are associated with an acute cardiac event. Maintain your healthy heart with proper diet and exercise. Monitoring your blood pressure, glucose, and cholesterol levels and adhering to any treatment measures prescribed by your physician is crucial, even if you've had an event like myself. After some time and clearance from a physician, you can still safely dive. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I see land. Wait, I know this area. There. That is the safest place to come ashore.
You're set.
I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
Wow! I did not know what I was talking about.
I spent my whole life running around. Still let the wind kind of blow me around. Well, I dropped a note.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, We are your crew navigating the latest boating news and information. Now, we are based in Orlando, Florida, and last week there was a story that came out of Orlando on one of those pontoon boats. I'm sure Patrick is aware of this story with the alligator and the pontoon boat.
Actually, I have that story pulled up.
I figured you did.
So we're going to talk about Sam Smith, the singer.
Oh, okay. No, it came up on his boat?
I don't even know who Sam Smith is. So
I've heard of him. I've seen him.
Sounds like a made-up name, if you ask me. Now, in Daytona Beach, actually. So there was a couple from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And by a couple, I mean a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, something like that. So actually, it was Emerald Hindery and her husband, Tyler, spelled T-Y-L-O-R. I swear, I don't even know why people even bother trying to spell anymore.
Mm.
They were on an airboat ride when they happened upon an alligator sitting on the riverbank.
No, was it an airboat? I thought it was a pontoon boat. It could have been one or the other. Like, I thought it was one of those pontoon wildlife cruises. Because the picture I saw showed a pontoon boat.
The lady who was there, Emerald Hindery, said she and her husband, because I just want to make sure that when I say this, that your ears are open.
Yeah.
And you're listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, because right. I'm expending all this energy to force air up past my vocal cords and actually form words that I would hope that in my wildest dreams you would actually pay attention to, so you don't keep coming back and saying, well, what about this? And it's like, for the love of Pete, I just said exactly, if you had listened the first time, you would have heard it. Emerald Hindery said she and her husband, Tyler, were on an airboat ride.
I don't think she knows what an airboat is. And when it goes to all that stuff you just said, all the air is wah, 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 wah.
So they float near this alligator for about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Before a gust of wind pushed the boat right up to the bank. Tyler pulled out his cell phone and started live streaming the gator on his Facebook page. And the tour guide, who, if he actually said this, and I guess he did because it's on their Facebook Live, you can reach out and slap him, can't you? Okay, for our listeners out there, don't slap the alligators.
Not a good idea.
Don't slap the alligator. In fact, 3 feet away is about as close as you want to get. Mm-hmm. Because I got news for you. They look like they don't move very fast, but those sons of guns will chase you down.
They are lightning fast.
They really are.
Especially when you smack them. So don't do that.
So,
I mean, would you want to be smacked? I mean, come on. You're probably going to react poorly.
After the guide said, you can reach out and slap him, can't you? The guide told him not to make any sudden moves. And then a second later, the reptile jumped into the boat. And of course, everybody started screaming and trying to get out of the way. And then, of course, the gator was probably more scared of them than they were of him. So tried to get out of the boat, got caught between two railings up in the bow, and finally wiggled its way out.
Mm-hmm. He just wanted a lift. He didn't know he was going to get trapped up there.
They said they weren't expecting that much excitement during their ride. But hey.
We got hitchhiking gators now in Florida.
That's why you went on the ride, wasn't it?
To have a gator get on your boat? I don't think that was really.
I would think so.
They wanted to get close to see nature. They just didn't want nature to kind of, you know, get up on their boat. So you just got to be a little, you know, careful. You got to kind of create maybe a slight little buffer zone. And I doubt they were in any real danger, you think, other than it could pour the boat up pretty good.
I would think that any time that a prehistoric animal...
Well, it wasn't like humpback. It wasn't like that gator you see on YouTube right now that was like 15 foot long and walking across the cornfields. I mean, Did you see that thing?
I'm not scared of many things in this world, but two things that I am afraid of, not deathly afraid, but
me,
because of the time that I spend out or in the water, especially surfing on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get ready to head to Costa Rica in November of this year for a 7-day surf trip,
He's been deported. Don't let
shark,
him out of here.
Sharks are always in the back of my mind, and I just don't go and jump out into water. I get out to the beach and I observe. And
he throws a chicken out there into the area where he's going to surf, and then he's like, "All right."
And if I see schools of bait fish or something like that, you know, I will go walk up the beach to where they're not.
Okay, so sharks, you're not very scared of?
No, shark, I am.
And gators?
And alligators, because
sharks and gators,
they will kill you dead. And those are two animals that over millions of years have just been honed to do nothing but kill you.
Well, I'm going to go swimming with the sharks next week, hopefully. So you'll hear all about it, or you don't, or you won't. Because they ate me. We'll have to see what happens next week on The World of Boating. Until then, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on The World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.